everyone. Welcome to the
Hi, Joe.
Unprofessional Podcast Hour. I'm having a delicious LaCroix right now, berry flavored. Delicious. Joining us tonight is Sean. Sean, how are you doing?
I'm back, baby. Let's get shrifty.
All it took was Fantastic Beasts and Nintendo.
No, basically just Nintendo.
Actually, I should bring that up. Yeah, we should talk Fantastic Beasts since we've all seen it too. I'll put that in show notes. Might as well, right?
Nick, you saw it?
We have show notes. We have show notes?
Yeah, you just said
never mind. There's a spreadsheet?
Yeah.
Nick, you saw it?
Fantastic Beasts on the spreadsheet.
Yeah, Nick saw it.
It was awesome.
Okay.
I saw it with my wife.
Cool. Yeah, that's usually.
And Amelia.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, you don't want to take Amelia.
Also, hello, Nick. I'm here.
Yes. Hello, Nick. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Joseph. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, man. It's been interesting, to say the least. So let's start off real quick. Disney. They showed Rivers of Light to cast members this weekend and yesterday. That happened.
Shouldn't have.
Who knows what the hell is going to actually happen? The show's not done yet. So.
Crash.
There you go. Hey, Food and Wine is starting August 31st now.
Really?
Yes.
Jesus.
Yeah.
So, as of right now, they're going to have those food pavilions up all the way from August. Like, late August, all the way until May.
Why even take them down?
Exactly. They just
leave them up, man.
Well, because when everything... To quote Syndrome, when everything becomes a festival, nothing is a festival.
That's all I've got has, though.
Yeah, it's the festival park now.
It's really all they got.
Well, I mean, that's what Keith from Keezus said. It was like, experimental prototype community of they have a fucking festival every single day or something like that. anyway, Food and Wine, even my parents who love Food and Wine, and they're like they love Food and Wine, and you know, they'd go every like 4 or 5 years or whatever. They went 2 years back to back, and they're like, nothing changed. Why should we go next year?
No, there's no
reason to go if you've been before.
Well, or like maybe every 3 years, 4 years, but like every year, there's no changes. Nah. There's nothing different. They don't switch.
There's no reason to go.
But I mean, like, I haven't been to Food and Wine since 98 or 99, and I went in 2015, so that was an interesting experience.
Well, I mean, like, the early 2000s, mid 2000s, like, a cube of steak. Yeah.
You're breaking up. Yeah, you're breaking up quite a bit. Do you want to start that again?
No, I was just saying that, like, in the early 2000s, when it wasn't, like, $10 for a bit of steak, you know, it was decent, but now it sucks.
Well, yeah, back when it was, like, $4 to $5 for a bite, and the drinks were, like, $2 to $3, and it was, you know, yeah. And it was lower key. Like, they actually had a pavilion in France, and you would get up, and you would sample it, and you'd walk on, as opposed to the mega five-person booth with maximum operations and all that stuff. It's gotten really weird. Food and Wine's really weird now, y'all. Anyway, that's enough about Food and Wine. Let's talk about more Food and Wine, except Disney's now doing an upcharge experience with the monorail bar crawl. So for $125, you can get dinner. You can get appetizers. By the way, can you hear the train now outside my window?
Yeah, I heard it.
Okay, so... Okay, so I'm going to do a little diversion right now. We have a scenic railway through the Cuyahoga National Parks Valley, right behind, like right outside my window. Like outside my window, I can see the Brugger's, a McDonald's, like across the street, and then the railway. So like people can like take these like a train, and they can do like food samplings or wine samplings. You see, this is thematically appropriate, and like go throughout the Cuyahoga National Valley. And it's like
that's
20,
pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like $25 a person. It's a freaking train. What's really funny though is like the Nano Brewery that I always go to is right at the corner, and you can know when a train's coming because the whole place starts to shake.
Yeah. It's like Harry's apartment in Diagon Alley from Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah, exactly like that. Exactly like that. So, anyway, for $125 with this monorail call bar and food.
How much?
$125. But
okay.
That includes gratuity and tax. So,
and drinks?
And drinks.
So, it's not that's bad. Actually not too bad.
I mean, it's really expensive, but it's not terrible.
I mean, I can spend like $50 at Sam's alone.
Oh yeah,
in well, one
yeah.
night.
I mean, so like not buying any glasses,
right?
just getting the drinks.
So
well, I mean, well, so here's what you get: you get appetizers at the Wave and drinks. Then
okay.
And then all the way around, you get priority monorail boarding.
Okay.
So you don't have to wait. You're just like, you show your thing and you're on the next monorail, which, let's be honest, if it's the resort monorail, you're always on the next monorail. Then at the Polynesian, they haven't said where the food's at. They just say they're having food. So who knows?
Ohana.
I think it's at Kona.
It's an Ohana.
It would probably be at Kona, wouldn't it?
It would be at Kona or something.
But I bet you it's the Ohana food.
They haven't.
Because they mass produce that crap. They mass produce Ohana.
Yeah, but they just, we don't know enough about the food in the Polynesian. Anyway, then you go to the Grand Floridian, and they have food from Citricos, which is one of my favorite restaurants.
And you get alcoholic drinks with this too.
Yep, you get alcoholic drinks everywhere. Then you take the monorail and you go to the California Grill, and at the end of the night, I think you get dessert and drinks, and then you get to watch the fireworks.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, actually, that's actually kind of not bad.
I mean,
I thought you were going to say they stopped at the Magic Kingdom and you got Casey's hot dogs.
Stop at the Magic Kingdom. You have to go to Tony's.
Citrus Swirl.
I mean, it's still you could do that like whole entire run for probably $80. With tip and gratuity?
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
I mean,
you only get one drink at each stop?
I don't know that officially. Or
that would be the kicker. If you get more than one drink at each stop, you could load it up.
Yeah. Anybody want to look that up? Because if I check out anything online, Nick's going to break out. It's like going to break up or everything. Actually, I can just check my phone. You know, I'll just jump off thing. You see, this is the highly entertaining podcast where we look up stuff online for you, right? Disney Parks blog. You see, there we go. You know, we haven't heard Baloo in a while. How's Baloo doing, Sean?
Good. He's sleeping right on the... He's taking up half the recliner, like, reclining part right now.
What a jerk. Okay, here we go. So it's called the Skydine Around... Wait, Highway in the Skydine Around... That makes no sense. Whatever. Anyway, it's launching December 2nd. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, I could do it this weekend!
Yeah, you could do it this weekend.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
Cocktails, appetizers, dinner, and desserts. You start off the journey by checking the Wave... welcome cocktail, then board the monorail to the Polynesian.
Okay, so it's one drink.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it looks like one drink at each location. Hop back on the monorail, Disney California, and step into the Elegant Hotel. Entrees, wine pairings at Citricos. So that could actually be, I mean, an entree at Citricos can go anywhere from like high teens to the like high 30s. So depends on what you get. Plus a wine pairing, and you know, a glass of wine there can be probably like $10 to $12. Then the monorail final stop, the Grand at the Contemporary Resort for dessert, cordials, and coffee on a private patio with the Magic Kingdom Parks fireworks over Cinderella Castle. Oh, I'm sorry, I lied. The cost is $150. Now we're getting my apologies.
Yeah. I'd say 125 is probably still a little bit too much, but not terrible. 150 is bad.
Yeah, I think if they offered that for $100, they'd be sold out. I think that's actually really not a bad price. I mean, that's still a lot of money. And that's, but
I do it for $100.
Well, for an experience though.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
For a crazy good experience, I think $100 of, hey, we're going to do something real crazy and stupid and go on the monorail and do this like progressive dinner around the monorail resorts. Because when you come down to it, like it's you don't have to worry about any of the reservations and it's like $20 extra. But at $150, then you're then you're starting to look at double the price kind of territory. And that's a little bit much. Also, we lost Nick. Hopefully Nick will be back. Send your thoughts and prayers to Nick. Anyway, so this would be a good time, Sean, that we haven't had you on a while. Do you want to kind of share your thoughts and stuff on Halloween Horror Nights 26?
Yeah, I can do that. God, it feels so long ago.
Well, because it was a long time ago, Sean.
It was so long ago. So much has happened.
Think about about the amount of people who've died since then. The
so much has happened.
I think the Nintendo Switch was announced between then and now.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I mean, like, everything's happened. The world's imploded. Anyway, continue.
No, literally, it has. Yeah, I liked Horror Nights this year. I thought it was a step down from last year. And I'd probably put it, like, like middle of the pack from the years I've gone. Probably right below 21 and 25. So, okay. 21 and 25 are the best ones I've seen. So I'll put it below 25, or 21 in third place. What were the houses?
I forgot the houses.
No, I didn't forget them, but
so going clockwise around the park, starting at 6 o'clock, we had American Horror Story.
Then American Horror Story is really good. I really hate that show. Like, loathe that show. It's an awful, awful show, but the house was really good.
Then after the house was amazing.
That was a good house.
Yeah, the house was really good.
I really liked the house. I mean, it wasn't, like, crazy good like Monsters of Mayhem last year, but it was
good. No. But it was good.
After that was Exorcist.
Pigman was awesome. Oh, Exorcist. I loved Exorcist. I only went through it once, but it was, like, a freaking really great run-through. And I really liked the movie. And it was, I liked how they kind of deconstructed it and you know, put some of the stuff that, you know, it's a movie that basically takes place in one room, and they made a pretty damn good house out of it. I really liked it.
In all fairness, Nick, we had a better run the second time with Sean than we did the first. Because, Sean, we kept getting stuck in that first scene with the Pazuzu and the fake wall. Like, we were stuck in there.
That was really cool.
Yeah, that was something that we were just stuck there for a long time, so it was like, oh.
I didn't even know what was happening in that house, but anyway, it didn't do much for me.
Well, I've seen the movie too, so I think that kind of lays a template for like something like Poltergeist, like a house. I think that'd be something cool or different. Anyway, after that was Ghost Town.
Back off! Oh, I love Ghost Town. Ghost Town was my favorite house this year. It definitely probably wasn't the scariest, but it was the most entertaining by far. Every character was awesome. That's my goal!
It was the most fun. It's like one wanted to go through, like, constantly.
I had fun every time I went through there. Mm-hmm. Stinky Pete was awesome. I miss Ghost Town already.
I do too. After that is The Walking Dead.
Oh my god, it was actually pretty good!
Yeah.
Who knew?
When you take all the, no pun intended, body parts from all the other houses and scare zones and lob them together, and then you just basically do a shit ton of boo holes, it turns out pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I liked it.
Nothing made sense, but it was okay.
It made a lot of sense, man.
Yeah, well,
if you watch the show.
There you go. I don't watch the show. After that was, we're missing one. No, we're not. No.
No. No.
Yeah, there's
Chance is next.
Then Chance, which
terrible. The worst house I've ever been through.
The
easily the worst
Q
house
video
ever.
Is good.
I didn't get to see the Q video because there's never any line for it.
Well, there you go. The Q video is pretty good. What else? I mean, I had fine scares, but it was still not a good house.
What?
Joe, you're... Stop.
Yes, I know. After that was Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I really like Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, that was not my jam. That smell, like, just... I had to, like, spit five times after leaving that house. And
I think I went through that three times, and when the leather faces were bringing it, that was a really good house.
Yeah, yeah. I did not have that situation happen for me at all, so... Oh, well. After that was Tomb of the Ancients?
I loved Tomb. I really liked it. I mean, I'm partial to the whole exploration deal they were trying to go for, but I really liked it.
That last run-through Tomb we had was pretty darn good.
And Crocolion was cool.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else. And then after that was
Halloween.
Halloween 2.
Just so bad.
That weekend.
Hey, y'all. Take a look at my knife.
Everyone swears that weekend we just had, like, the worst runs in the world.
No.
I don't believe it.
No.
No. Well, it's just a garbage house.
90% of what was wrong with that house is Sean ruined it after the first time we went through it. Like, forevermore, that house was ruined.
Hey, y'all. Take a look at my knife. I'm going to stab you.
If you pardon me, I'd like to sell you some encyclopedias.
Y'all, I lost my knife, but I got a hammer.
Hammer?
I'm going to smash you.
And then I think the last house is Krampus.
No, we're missing another one. Mm-hmm. Aren't we? No, yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah, we did 4, 5.
Yeah, no, I forgot. What
six,
was
seven,
it?
Eight,
yeah, no, no, no. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I really like Krampus, but I love Krampus the movie. I think it could have been better.
Way better.
Like, there should have been a Krampus puppet at some point. But otherwise, I think they did a really good job with it.
Yeah. How'd you like the scare zones?
They were fine.
Just, okay. Good.
I'm not a big scare zone. Like, I shouldn't say that. Vamp was amazing. But, I mean, it's not scary. It was just really entertaining. But that's fine, because I never really think there's anything scary about scare zones. And, like, how entertaining Vamp was made up for any... Like, that's my favorite scare zone that I've ever been through.
Really?
Easily. It was just entertaining. It was just the most entertaining one I've ever been through. Yeah.
I think
it was a good scare zone.
I think my favorite scare zone was Shady Brook last year.
Shady Brook was good, too. But I think the overall characters were more differentiated and, like, more entertaining in Vamp. Like, everybody was just a crazy person in Shady Brook, which was fine. That's probably my second favorite one that I've ever been in. But Vamp had, like, all these different characters, and, like, everybody was into their character and stuff like that.
Vamp had more set really roles, while Shady Brook was more define your character.
Right.
So you'll get, like, the crazy guy waving the fake art, like, the fake hand as you leave, or the lady staring in the lights for, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Or the guy eating the park map. You know, that kind of stuff. Yeah, no, that's good.
I really want a Vamp 55 house.
I think that'd be good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything about the shows you want to talk about or mention?
They were both not very good.
Okay, there we go. You mean you don't...
Academy of Villains shadow thing was cool, but otherwise it was just whatever.
You don't like sign twirling?
Yeah, I'm not... I can go to the corner and see a guy twirling a Quiznos sign if I want to.
But which way is the Quiznos? God bless that vine.
And then... Bill and Ted was just not good.
Yeah. Definitely.
It was just very disappointing this year.
Okay.
But I think it was kind of a tough year to parody, because it was just so shitty. 2016 was just so terrible.
It was too many sad things and depressing things.
Just awful.
And, yeah, just really, really bad. Anything else you want to say about the event?
Repository was ass.
Aww. Damn it.
What a terrible, terrible waste of money that was.
That wasn't that bad.
It was awful, Joe. Stop sticking up for Repository.
I'm sticking up for Repository. I like the actors. That's I the thought worst. That stuff was good.
Yeah, that yeah. was stuff was good, but it was also very yeah. short, and the rest of it was me fumbling around in a PS2 level graphics video game.
Trying to wave my little hand thing, figuring out what the hell it is. It's like, oh, it's a flashlight. Like the
almost
last
fighting the guy who tried to take away my flashlight.
No. You told me not to.
Told me not to give it up. I was just following directions.
Very literal. They need to work on that. Yeah.
What a terrible, just god awful thing.
Well, we have good things from that.
Yes, that's true.
In weird aside tangential ways.
Yeah, that's true. Its utter failure has maybe saved us from other stuff.
Yeah. So that's positive at least. How'd you like New Hulk?
It was fine. I mean, I think it's much better than Old Hulk.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
I mean, it's nothing, like, groundbreaking. But it's nice. I like the queue. From what I saw, I did single rider, so I didn't really see much of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the way it looks at night, obviously. And then the music's cool. I like how they redid, like, the desert theming in the back.
Mm-hmm.
That it no longer just looks like, you know, crappy, like, just dirt. It actually looks like a desert back there, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's an upgrade.
Yeah,
I think it could have been better, but
the engineering work to actually make it not crazy bumpy or stuff like that, they just didn't want to do. So
yeah.
Oh well.
But it's fine. It's an upgrade,
good, though.
Yeah. Did we do anything else new that trip? For me. We tried to do Toothsome, but that didn't work out.
Saw the outdoor portion of Kong for the first time. That was nice.
Yeah. It's about it.
I saw the scare actor get like 17 people. It was fantastic.
Yeah, that was that's a really good scare actor. How'd you like Hoop? You've done Hoop before, right?
Yeah, I've done Hoop before.
Okay, so you.
I mean, Hoop's freaking fantastic. Like. Every time I go, I forget how just amazing it is.
That is.
I ate, like, almost two whole things of cornbread by myself.
Yeah, you did.
That cornbread.
Worth it.
That cornbread and that fried chicken, though. Oh, man. I had, like three things of fried chicken. Oh, that was so good.
Then we went to Sam's.
Sam's, that was good.
Sam's is always good.
Yeah. Are you going to get the Nautilus?
Possibly.
Do it.
He's already been given permission.
Well, that was permission 2 months ago. Hopefully the permission still stands.
Yeah.
You were given permission.
Do it. Okay.
I'll let you guys know. I'll let everybody know on Friday if it happens.
Good. We need updates and video. Especially if Skipper Erica's there.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Skipper Erica. Anyway, so let's get to the real news. We got some Nintendo stuff this morning, and by stuff,
yay.
I mean not that much, but we got to see Shigeru Miyamoto talk.
See,
and he's.
I disagree that we didn't get that much.
Okay,
we got a good bit.
Okay,
but we'll talk about that when we get there.
So they released a press release. I'm gonna actually pull that up right now because for some odd reason I didn't have it ready to go because I am the worst, as they.
You're
say.
Just the worst.
I am the literal worst. Blog dot breaking news about which one's which. I don't even know which one's which now.
Well,
Orlando United.
really quick, because
yeah.
Really quick, because my speakers, like my computer, actually the whole sound card shut down on me. So that's why I'm on my phone now.
Okay.
One thing I wanted to bring up with Disney is I don't know if y'all saw it. I sent it to y'all, but they're now charging a $5 handling fee if you ship a package to the resort.
No way.
At
the front desk.
That's the worst.
So, like, if you ship a UPS package down, or you have Garden Grocers deliver you groceries, or Amazon Prime deliver something to the resort, Disney's charging you $5 to handle that until you pick it up.
Holy crap. That's real bad. That's bad, fam. That's real bad. I mean, plus, like, there's a whole entire side business of, like, people who have, like, basically, like, these giant tubs they keep for their vacation home, like, DVC. Uh-huh. And they just reuse that stuff, and they just get it shipped to them or whatever.
Yep. Yeah, they have that storage thing that down there that those DVC people do. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
$5 a box.
That's really lame.
Or $5, whatever.
Is that $5 flat or $5 per day?
I think it said $5 per package, and this was on allears.net. So Deb posted it. That it was a $5 fee for any packages, and that included, like, if you had groceries delivered from even, like, a grocery store in town.
Jeez, that's the word. Yeah, they're – jeez, can't believe that. They're just trying to make money off of everything.
Yeah. Thanks, Shanghai.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But that's okay. They're going to – now that Nintendo is finally coming, they're going to spend $1 billion to
get Marvel,
rights back.
Just one billion. Yeah. On rights in the perpetuity. Okay, so let's start this off. So on the Universal Orlando blog, on Tom Schroeder posted, said, last year I let you know about a new partnership between Universal Parks and Resorts and Nintendo. So I am going to update you on this historic collaboration and share a glimpse at the creative vision behind it. Imagine the fun of stepping into a larger-than-life Nintendo adventure. Giant piranha plants spring to life, question blocks, pop-ups, and more surround you. And Mario and all of his friends are there to pull you into a brand new world. You enter a realm filled with iconic Nintendo excitement, gameplay, heroes, no Oxford comma, and villains. I'm sorry, I'm a stickler for the Oxford comma. And it's coming to 3 Universal theme parks around the globe. Of course, Japan, Hollywood, and Orlando. Not Singapore, because Singapore doesn't like to do investments. These will be expansive, immersive, and interactive. Again, no Oxford comma. They'll be highly themed and authentic environments filled with multiple attraction shops and restaurants. Again, no Oxford comma. You'll feel as if you're playing inside your favorite games - in real life. There will be something for everyone, regardless of their age or gaming experience level. Planning and creative on these areas is well underway. It's been well underway for a while. They will open. They will open separately over the next several years. Shigeru Miyamoto of Nintendo and Mark Woodbury, president of Universal Creative, recently sat down to talk about the two teams working together, along with reviewing potential designs for the land. They also discussed what fans could look forward to experiencing as these. Exciting plans come to life, and it's them looking at that green box thing also. So, Sean, this is the quote that you highlighted. The goal of everyone in this project is clear: to bring the characters and action and adventure, again, no Oxford comma, of Nintendo video games to life within Universal theme parks, and to do so in new and innovative ways that capture and what makes them so special. All of the adventure, fun, and whimsy, no Oxford comma, you experience through a screen will now be all around you in breathtakingly authentic ways. So there we go. The first announcement will come soon.
There's a lot of deliberate wording in this post that I really like.
Okay.
Because I don't think any of it was done by accident or anything like that. That line right there, and what was the other one? It'll be highly themed and authentic environments is another one. We've heard forever that this is going to be a much more physical-based, including the rides, than screen-based, and I feel like they're kind of winking at that in this.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
I think Nintendo's kind of come down with the directive saying, hey, if people want to see our stuff on, you know, movie screens, they can do that at home. Or like, any screen. So
I mean, that could very well be.
Yeah.
And I hope I'd be fine with that. Like I was saying, I've said before, Miyamoto is the Walt Disney of video games, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So, just seeing him in that video, he's just so happy. He's so psyched. Oh, and it makes me so happy.
Mm-hmm. If he's excited, I'm excited.
Yeah. And I think, again, Nintendo wasn't going to do this if it wasn't going to be done right. So it's, I want to know. I want to see it.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, I mean, look at that photo of him with the globe. How can't you not like that photo?
I love the beginning of the video when Mario jumps out of the tube and looks at the globe and then just gets his big happy smile on his face.
Did you see, like, they added a giant fake shrub to it, too?
Yeah.
Yep.
That was bizarre.
So what else did I want to say? So that was the first thing where I said, you know, a lot of people are saying this isn't anything new. But I'd argue that it's nothing. If you follow theme parks, yes, it's kind of nothing new. But I'd say it confirms stuff we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Not outright, but it kind of like I said, more real or more physical than screen stuff. Confirms multiple attractions for every land. And we've heard either, you know, two or three.
Mm-hmm.
And it's family oriented, which we knew it was going to be. So I you know, while it doesn't say these are the rides or anything like that, it does, I think, confirm that we've been on the right track when we talk about this.
Mm-hmm. So what's interesting also they mentioned is they talked about having these open separately over the years. What's that quote I had? They will open separately over the next several years.
Yeah. That doesn't surprise me.
So we know that they're opening the Universal Studios Japan before the Olympics in 2020. So that's going to open before summer 2020. How soon before, we don't know yet, but before then. Then they also said Hollywood and another interesting thing, they said Universal Orlando Resort. They didn't specify what park.
Well, yeah, I don't think that's a big deal.
Sure?
I don't know. I still feel like it's going to go into studios.
Okay.
I know we've possibly heard differently, but I still just get the gut feeling it's going to go into studios.
Like they just kind of gave up and realized they had to put something there, and they just kind of said, we'll just stick with what we have.
And maybe there's another, you know, phase two for park three or four, however you want to say it.
Yeah.
But I mean, it could all be in the new park. I don't know. But I get the feeling that it's still going to be in studios.
Yeah.
At least to start off.
Okay. I'm getting more, like, from what I've heard for a while is studios. And people kept bringing up, what about this new park? And being like, nope, everything says studios. And then recently it sounds like maybe it's the new park, but that was a decision made like this summer or later.
Yeah.
Kind of situation. Like, we have this land now and other things. Let's shuffle around. And also remember DreamWorks, because they did buy DreamWorks.
Yeah.
So that's playing into that too. So, you know, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff like, hey, throw DreamWorks in Kids Zone. Who knows? I mean, who knows right now? So, anyway, that's what I've been hearing about location for Orlando. What's interesting is Hollywood. When would Hollywood open?
I think we're going to see 19, 20, 21.
So, who's going to get 20 then?
If it's in studios, I say us. If it's in park three, I'd say Hollywood.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be 19, 20, 21. The question is, which park is 20 and which one's 21?
Well, if they open it, yeah, okay. Well, I mean, if they open it 2020 in Orlando, then you're competing directly with Star Wars Land. Or what right. we roughly think is Star Wars Land time frame-ish. If you're opening 2020, you're missing Star Wars Land by at least a year in California, from the sound of it. So, but if you open it first in California, you do get that E3 crowd. Like, imagine if Nintendo does their after party at Universal Studios.
Assuming E3 is still a thing.
Well, yeah. Good point. Never mind. Well, Nintendo will host an event around whatever resembles E3 yeah. or the conglomeration of corporations throwing events around the LA area during that time. Yeah. Like what EA did this year is a good example.
I'm just really just so psyched. I really hope that I hope when they say soon for the next announcement that it is soon.
Mm-hmm. Not
soon. Not theme park soon.
not wait another
it's
18
theme
months.
Park soon. It's theme park soon.
So how long was it between when they were like, oh, the we'll be back with more on Volcano Bay soon? Wasn't there only like a 2 or 3 month gap between the next announcement? Yeah. So like I'm hoping it's something similar to that.
Volcano Bay was announced.
Well, no, but they said there was like recently there was like they came out with one post, and then they were like, we'll have an update on, it might have been ticketing soon, and there was only like a 2 month gap between that.
Yeah, it was a few months. It wasn't half a year. It was maybe like two or 3 months. Yeah.
So like, I could see after the Christmas season getting something for Nintendo from what I would take Japan, but.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I think.
I mean, it's going to be Japan. The first one is going
to
be
Japan. It has to be Japan.
It's got
to
be Japan. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've known that though. Like.
Yeah.
Or we've been told that.
I mean, I've been in denial about being in Japan, but we've known it's been Japan.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Yeah. So enough about opening date speculation location. Let's talk about attractions. So what we believe is we got Mario Kart. And
Mario Kart is going everywhere. I think that's obviously going to be the big.
That's going to be the e-ticket, the big
centerpiece e-ticket.
Yeah,
that's going to blow people's minds.
And that's and I've seen people like actually say it's going to be go-karts.
No, that's
and I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, you crazy?
That is 100% not going to happen.
I think it's just going to be a faster version of Honey Hut. You get those like six vehicles going around or whatever.
I could see that.
Yep.
That's what I get.
That's what I envision.
That's what I envision. But I think it's going to be a ride that is literally going to be just something new.
Yeah, I hope.
I think it's going. I hope. Who knows? They could use something like Honey Hut and just, you know, do something new with it, but I feel like it's going to be something we've never seen before. But that's just what I have in my gut.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be crazy. Can't wait.
Yeah, Mario Kart's going to be nuts. That's going to be insane. The other stuff is Donkey Kong coaster kind of thing. Based around...
For us, allegedly.
Yeah based around us, yeah. It's based around the whole entire levels in the NES. No, SNES, sorry.
Donkey Kong Country. The mine carts.
Yeah, the mine carts. And, you know, going around. So when I hear this, I imagine a non-sucky version of the Temple Apparel at Disneyland Paris.
I would hope it's more... You know the Mac coasters that can, like, lean over?
Yeah.
I would hope it's something like that.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
And that would make sense, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it needs to have an extra feeling of, like, out of control,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah.
Yep. And then another ride we heard about was a Yoshi dark ride.
Yeah, like Yoshi's Island storybook dark ride.
Yeah, which would be cool and interesting and different and weird on so many levels.
I mean, I really hope I think that could be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But if that ride happens and it... this land is going into Universal Studios Florida, that means E.T. will close.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Unfortunately, yeah.
I'd be okay with that for that.
Yeah.
For the Yoshi Dark Ride, I hope they have a touch fuzzy get dizzy level. Like, deep cut.
I just hope that they put Tickly Moot Moot in the Yoshi Dark Ride if it replaces E.T. Just hide him somewhere.
That'd be great. Yeah. Any other like ride ideas you think they may do or anything else?
I could see maybe a flat ride or two.
Yeah.
I keep hearing things about Kirby, and I keep hearing things about Zelda. Yeah.
I can't see them doing Zelda with like Mario and Donkey Kong.
Yeah. I feel like if they do what like Sean says and they put it in USF, that Zelda would be for the third park.
Yeah.
That seems separate, like some sort of separate
kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like a Lost Continent replacement eventually or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that would be great too. That would be a good replacement for Lost Continent.
I can't, like, Zelda does not match up with that crew, I feel like.
The vibe, even the theme.
Yeah.
The theme doesn't really,
like,
go together.
Especially because if you're going to do Zelda, you need to do, like, Castle Town or Kakariko Village or something similar like that.
Yeah.
And
that just doesn't fit the vibe.
Yeah. I could see Kirby, though. I could see, like Kirby flat rides or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that would be good. Kirby flat rides, for sure. Yeah, so that's... Any other things you want to talk about Nintendo? This announcement?
I want to know... I'm interested to see what, like, kind of food stuff they do with it.
That's a good... Yeah, that was a good one. Like, food. Like, how? What kind of food are they going to do? Are they going to actually bring the things from the parks to life?
Well, maybe maybe Kirby will be the restaurant.
Maybe Animal Crossing will be the restaurant.
Oh, I forgot about Animal Crossing.
Right? Yeah. Right?
That would be smart to use Animal Crossing for that.
That'd be awesome.
Nintendo does have a franchise called Cooking Mama.
No, that's Majesco.
Oh, really? I thought that was a Nintendo.
No, that's definitely Majesco.
Oh.
I remember someone throwing a crazy reference to Majesco doing a Super Smash Brothers like game, and like one of them was like Cooking Mama. long story. Anyway, yeah, no, that's Majesco.
Huh.
The more you know.
Yeah.
Doo-doo-doo.
So yeah, I think if it does go into Universal Studios Florida, it'll be just Mario and Donkey Kong stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was that?
Was that me?
Yeah.
That wasn't me.
Am I which mic am I on? Oh, I'm on my headphones mic, that's why. Okay, now I should sound better. Wait. Okay, can you hear me? Wait.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Okay. Now I should sound better. I sound better? Okay, good.
Whoops. You're fine, Joe.
Yeah, now I'm on the Yeti. So I was muting before.
And then
I was muting before and I was making noises, but now I'm not muting. Okay, never mind, sorry.
Part 3 having Zelda and maybe Pokemon.
Well, I think Pokemon's a definite for like Park 3. It has to be.
Like we all saw in the past year that Pokemon is still gigantic and is going nowhere. So
I think
Fad, man.
Yeah, Pokemon seems to me like Diagon Alley in the terms of like expansion and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's what it reeks to me personally.
Like I'm interested to see cuz the way this I mean, again, it's a press release. It could mean nothing, but it says, like, Piranha Plants will just basically be out and about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which to me, screams as a test of just having a land where Pokemon are out and about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Pokemon animatronics hidden around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, I've always wanted them to open a Nintendo World Store at, like, the City Walks. Because there's only one of them in New York. Imagine if they opened one in Osaka, one in Hollywood, and one in Orlando.
Yeah, it'd be smart.
That'd be ridiculous. They'd make so much money. Already. Yeah, that's like, good.
Like, when they announced the partnership, that should have been day one type of thing.
Well, they've been taking over. Reportedly, Orlando and Hollywood have been taking over locations, so I can just imagine they're planning for it. Like, imagine if they put a Nintendo World store where that what is it? The surf shop or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is like down there and that little corner stop.
Fossil or whatever.
Yeah, that fossil and that surf shop everyone cuts through. Imagine if they just put the Nintendo store there.
There's room there for it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, that's Nintendo. And we are moving on. You guys want to talk some Fantastic Beasts real quick?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't talked about the movie yet. And Lane's not on to talk about his trip, so we'll just wait next week for Lane.
Do a trip report.
Yay! Hopefully no other news breaks.
I'm sure there it will.
Yeah. Who else will die? No, I'm sorry, that got real dark.
Disney's going to announce a hayride and sip where you travel back and forth between Wilderness Lodge and Fort Wilderness.
Oh, jeez, that's depressing.
Eat cornbread and drink Yingling.
Hmm.
The cornbread, the Yingling, no.
Cornbread, you say?
Yeah. Cornbread, yes. Yingling, no. So, where do you guys want to start with Fantastic Beasts, I guess? I liked it.
I don't want to go into too much spoilers.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it's only, 11 days old, but I liked it a lot. I think it's a good... I think it was a little sloppy, and I think they clearly... Or she clearly changed direction in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she clearly was like, originally, I'm going to make a Fantastic Beasts movie, and then, like, halfway through was probably like, no, I'm going to make it a Grindelwald Dumbledore story in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Not that Dumbledore's in it, and Grindelwald's a cameo, basically, but... I like it. It's a good jumping off point for what she's going to do next. And I like how, I liked all the, most of the characters. I liked how it's definitely grown up. It's not, you know, just a kid's movie anymore. I think it's good for teens too, but it's definitely not like the first few Potter movies were. but yeah, I really liked it.
Mm-hmm. I think comparing it to the first two Potter movies is a good idea because I think there's a lot of ways for it to grow. And I think people...
Totally, it's nowhere near the first two Potter movies, though.
Yeah, I think it's way better.
Whatever.
Well, I mean, it's Chris Columbus. I don't have any love for that man whatsoever. But yeah, I was really happy and excited about the movie. I saw it. I saw it like 6 p.m. opening night. Like in crazy 3D ultrasound XDR whatever
RPX
yeah RP no it was like XD it was yeah. It was the cinema whatever place near me, so I saw it. I liked it a lot. I had a great time. I thought I liked the characters a lot. I enjoyed Hey, it's a Hufflepuff on screen. I gotta love it. I really like the parts where they go into like Newt's case and they see the beasts and everything. That was amazing. Some more of the stuff when they started to get towards what's his face, you know, the kid who is, you know, disturbed.
Credence.
Yeah, Credence. When they start getting the Credence stuff, that's when things get really just meh. For me, I mean, like, I know why, I know it has to be there, and I know why it's there, but it just doesn't fit as well into everything. It doesn't make sense. It seems like it's two different movies in a way. Like,
oh, it definitely was.
Yeah,
it was, man.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm trying to say is, like, one part you have these Fantastic Beasts running around, and the other part of this movie is this whole entire subplot, and then somehow Newt's involved in both. It's just. Yeah, it was really just if they made a thing where like part of him discovering he was magical, spoilers, sorry. We're doing spoilers now. Was like seeing the beasts or something, then they could tie in better. Or like he could then, you know, talk about Newt to Graves or whatever. That would make more sense, but it was just still too separate for me, for my tastes. It just felt weird. But yeah, anyway.
I think it comes from, she clearly changed direction.
Well, remember when she...
a huge pivot.
Yeah, remember when she said the first few words of the screenplay? You remember when she did that on Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that. I have the screenplay. I bought the screenplay book. It's not in there at all.
Really?
Yeah. So,
yeah, I think, like, so realistically, I think... But they couldn't, at that point, like, put it off. It should have been a Dumbledore movie.
Yeah.
Like, the main character should have been Dumbledore.
Should have been Albus Dumbledore, yeah. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like Newt, but yeah, if they're going in the direction they're going in, it should have been a young Dumbledore movie.
Well, and I think that's where it's going. I don't think Newt's going to be the main character in the next one.
And that's what they've been saying, is like, Newt's not going to be the focus of the next movies, and
so do you,
this is really
do you
bizarre.
Think the next one's going to be called Fantastic Beasts?
No. Mm-mm. I think they're all going to have different names. I don't think it's going to be like blah 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 part one, or, you know, whatever.
So you don't think it's going to be the Lord of the Rings or the Harry Potter naming conventions?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Huh.
I don't think it'll be like Fantastic Beasts, whatever.
Fantastic Beasts and how to find them. Fantastic Beasts and when to find them.
How to train them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Fantastic. One of my favorite ones was, how to train them, but I was thinking when to train them would be more interesting. Just throwing that out there if you want to go for
that. I'm really interested in where they're going, though, because it's going to be set against World War II and all that kind of stuff. And
yeah.
Yeah.
That's
going to be fascinating.
So, Nick, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I loved it. I love that there's actually a world, a movie set in that world that actually has magic throughout the entire movie. Like real magic.
That was nice.
Not like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, a couple things here or there, they're learning spells, or you can't do magic because you're not at school. It's like, no, we can do whatever we want to, and we do it, and that was great. I love that.
But yeah.
It's like this world has grown up as, you know, it's gotten older as the people who started reading them has grown up, and I think that's the coolest part about it. It's like this is a grown-up take on that in some ways, and that was what I like. I mean, I love the movie. I think it was great. I honestly think I would rather watch it than any of the Harry Potter movies. Like, just to sit down and watch the movie.
That's saying a lot.
Pick that one. Just because at like this point in my life, I think that's just, as far as like, if I'm going to sit down and just like have a popcorn flick and just pop in a movie, like I'm homesick one day, I think I'd rather watch Fantastic Beasts than something like one of the Harry Potter movies that has so much, you know, melodrama and stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I guess,
I mean, I loved it. It was a great movie. It's a good start. You can definitely tell the pivot changed, though, in the middle of it. But I'm really interested in it. I'm really interested in how Grindelwald's portrayed. That's the big thing that I'm interested in going
forward. Yeah, I really don't want Johnny Depp to be wacky Johnny Depp.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't want Captain Jack Sparrow in the Wizarding World.
Yeah.
I feel like that, you know, that's what he's been doing ever since Captain Jack Sparrow. I feel like the Mad Hatter was Captain Jack Sparrow in Alice in Wonderland type of thing. And I don't want that in this setting.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
For the greater good.
Yeah.
Always.
Jeez. Yes, two shout outs to Hot Fuzz and Sirius Snape. So so that's all I got tonight. You guys have anything else?
Nah. You gonna be in Orlando this weekend?
Okay.
Doing some Epcot, doing some Grinchmas.
Grinchmas.
Magic Kingdom.
Doing some Magic Kingdom.
Cool. Cool, cool, cool.
I can't believe I'm missing Grinchmas this year.
Seeing Illuminations holiday tag for the first time in a long time.
Seeing Grinchmas for the first time.
That's
such a good show.
Seeing Jingle Cruise for the first time.
It's not as bad it's as people fun. Say, but it's not great. You'll hate it.
I will probably hate it.
You'll hate it. You hate it because you have weird reasons, but...
Well...
Yeah. You'll hate it.
I'm not, I won't hate it for that reason. I'll hate it because it's not the Jungle Cruise.
Stupid trains it's, outside again. Sorry. Anyway.
I mean, it's fine.
No, I'll probably enjoy it for what it is, Christmas but jokes. I'm annoyed that I won't be able to show it off to who I want to show the Jungle Cruise to who I want to show it to. So
you just wish that they had like the daytime it was the regular Jungle Cruise and at night it was the Jingle Cruise or something.
That'd be
like
cool.
That.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm excited because it has a different Q loop, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm excited
to
hear
Christmas
that.
Music.
At least the one in
Disneyland
did when I saw it a few years ago.
Yeah, I'm excited.
It does. It does. The one in Florida has it. Cause...
Cool.
Yeah.
Yep. Alrighty then. Nick, where can we find you online at?
At Partscope Nick on Twitter.
Cool. No one wants to find you, Sean, or you don't want anyone to find you, correct?
Yeah, I don't really do theme park talk much anymore.
If you want to follow him for the hottest takes of politics... he doesn't want you to follow him. And if you follow him, then you already know. You can find all of us at Parkscope. You can find me at Parkscope Joe on Twitter. Make sure to check out Parkscope.net. We got those great series up. Alan's been killing it with the hidden attractions. I don't know what Jeff's been really busy. I don't know where his top 30 Disney Never Built Attractions thing is. I think he's real busy right now. He's actually in grad school right now at Cornell for business.
Very nice.
For business. So good for him. Anyway, make sure you go find us on iTunes. Leave us a good review because that'd be real nice. Thank you. Anyway, on behalf of everyone, you guys want to sign us out?
Go ahead, Sean.
Love everybody, hate everything. Come
there we go.